Today we have this parable of the prodigal son. Perhaps the most famous and well-loved of all Jesus's parables. But what a bad title it's got. The prodigal son. I don't even know what prodigal means. I've never used the word prodigal in any other context other than in reference to this parable. Does anybody know what it means? I looked it up. I just looked it up this morning, actually. I looked it up, and it's an adjective that means spending money or resources freely and recklessly, being wastefully extravagant. I thought it referred to someone who was wayward. I thought it meant someone who had lost their bearings and didn't know where to turn. I was wrong about that. But that definition of prodigal as being wastefully extravagant, I think that means that the parable's title is even worse than I thought it was. Let me just explain something. These titles are not given by Jesus. Jesus didn't give you the titles of these parables. He just said the parables. He just told them. And it doesn't even come from St. Luke, who wrote the gospel that we heard today. He didn't come up with the titles. He wrote the gospel out. It's written by scholars and translators of the scriptures. That's who comes up with those. And editors, publishing editors. That's basically who comes up with these things. It's not. It wasn't Jesus. It wasn't St. Luke. So I'm not criticizing Jesus, but I'm criticizing the title of this thing, of this parable. I digress, as usual. Anyway, the title is bad because the point of the parable isn't that the son was prodigal, that he was wastefully extravagant. The fact that he was wastefully extravagant is not the point of the story. The point is that the father was so, so pleased to have him come back to him. That the father wanted nothing more than to restore him into the family and to be reunited with his son. The father, in fact, is looking for his son even before he arrives back home. While he was a long way off, Jesus says, the father saw him while he was a long way off. To me, a better title is the longing father. Or the loving father. And the point is that God the Father longs for all his children to be reunited with him and is filled with joy whenever a child discovers just how much he loves them. So I think this is the opportune time to talk about our children's ministries here at St. Ignatius. Right now I want to invite up Adrian and Rebecca to talk about our vision for kids' ministry. Adrian runs our Catch the Wave program on Sundays, and Rebecca is in charge of children's ministries. And I think you'll find that they have the same heart for God's children as the Father does. Rebecca, Adrian.
Good morning, everyone. It's really quite an honor to be here. I'm so grateful to Father Mike for inviting us today to focus, to center ourselves, and really to celebrate children and children's ministry here at St. Ignatius. And as I think about it, it actually makes a lot of sense to focus on children's ministry because, first of all, a lot of the folks here today are children. I see you out there. Also, there are a lot of people here who have children in their lives, who care about children. And finally, if you think about it, everybody here in the room, I'm pretty sure, was once a child, right? Like even Father Lou, you were once a child? So the heart of children's ministry really is intended to speak to all of us as a community. Now, Adrian and I are a little bit different. He's kind of tall, I'm kind of short. He's kind of young, I'm kind of not so young. But what we share is a dream and a passion for children's ministry. And we share that with the entire team here. And today we want to share that dream with all of you so that you can carry it forward to the children and the families in your lives. It's been about 20 years since faith formation was taken out of the schools here in Quebec and brought into the parishes. And for a long time, people would think about faith formation as something that takes place in a classroom, maybe with kids sitting at desks with workbooks. And sometimes that image might make faith formation sound a little bit boring. On the other hand, sometimes people don't really know how to reach children and talk to them about Jesus, so they go to the other extreme and they think, well, we have to be silly, we have to be goofy, we have to have cartoon animals and crossword puzzles because that's what kids want. And in fact, neither of those extremes is what we dream of for kids. Here, we have a dream that's not like either of those extremes. I want you to imagine what it would be like, what it is like, when children come to church excited and curious. Imagine if, for our children, Jesus was not only that figure on the cross far away, but also someone they knew by their side, a friend who was accompanying them, who was listening to them, who was close to them. This is our vision, and in recent years, we've begun to see this dream do what Father Mike always loves to hear, bear fruit. All of us are called to bear fruit, and we are seeing that in our children's ministry. We see it when kids come to church and they find friendship, when they enjoy praying, when instead of being passive or bored or isolated and alone, they're curious and eager. They're proud of their faith, they own it, and they're hungry for more.
Hello, everyone, and especially today. Hello, kids. Can I hear you, kids? How are you? Good. Can I hear you again? How are you? Good. Thank you very much. I have to say, and Father, I love the prodigal son. For me, it's a very special. Because of the significance of that name, I would even call it the prodigal father. He's the one giving it all. He gives extravagantly, he gives everything he has up to his own son. And for me, I just want you to picture right now. Imagine that, I don't know, who is the richest man on earth or person on earth? I think it's Jeff Bezos or whatever. Imagine Elon Musk coming to you and saying, hey, you know what? I want to adopt you in my family. And for that, I'm going to give you everything, everything that I have is yours. I have a question for you. Will you share with your family? Will you share with your kids? Having that much money, will you give them the best for them? Or will you wait because they're not old enough or they're not whatever? God, the Father, is giving us the biggest treasure that we can have. We are millionaires because He has given us everything. And my faith, my relationship with God, is the biggest treasure that I have. And of course, I want to share that with my kids. They deserve that and more. God made me part of His family, and I want my kids to know him as the great father that he is.
Could we have the next slide? We want to make it so that every family has a chance to open this treasure right now and share it, instead of just leaving it untouched on a shelf waiting for a later time. This is actually really exciting because Jesus said literally, "Let the children come to me." So this is our mission. This is all of our mission. Adrian's going to tell you a little bit about the first step in this ministry.
So the first, the entry point, let's say, we call it catch the wave. Why catch the wave? Because we are surfing the wave, right? Now, in a sense, it's because it's the wave is coming, the Holy Spirit is coming, and we want to be there, surfing that awesome wave. But catch the wave is it happens during Mass. During Mass, it's a moment in which we can offer a space for you kids to have fun, to encounter Jesus alive as your friend, and of course, to build community. I can say right now I have four daughters. Two of them are there with their best friends, and they are here. They found them here. And that's the dream of Catch the Wave.
So Catch the Wave is for any kid at any time, every Sunday at the 10 a.m. Mass. We have another program that's a little different called the Good Shepherd Atrium. And this is kind of rooted in the realization that children are born with a capacity for a relationship with God. And from a very, very young age, they are able to enter into that relationship. So we've created a special place for children as young as three, which we call the Good Shepherd Atrium. And it's a place that is both active and peaceful. It's deeply respectful of each child's pace and needs. It's a really beautiful program, and my favorite fruitfulness that I've seen come out of this program so far is one child who came home and said to their mom, "I wish my whole house could be the Good Shepherd Atrium." So there's some kind of enjoyment and celebration there. So the Good Shepherd Atrium is opening at the end of this month. You'll be able to read more about it online, but it's a very beautiful and a very peaceful opportunity for our children.
Now let's talk about the sacraments. It's other thing that we offer in our children's ministry. But the sacraments, I'm from Mexico, and that happens there, so I assume it happens here as well somehow. But we thought that the entry point for our kids was the sacraments. But let's say, I'm 37 right now, but imagine when I was 30, and I didn't have I was single, and me single at 30. I see myself, and said to myself, I'm 30 years old, I need to get married. I don't even know anyone, but I'm going to get married. It's time to get married. So I start reading in books about marriage and about how to be a good husband and a good father, but I don't even know the person that I'm going to marry. For me, for us, for our church, the sacraments is the greatest gift that Jesus can give us, himself. And we think that when we receive sacraments, we prepare for the sacraments, we prefer to have a relationship with the person of Jesus. We want to know him better. We want to be their friends. We want to follow him, to give that step and commitment to receive him fully. So sacraments is not necessarily a program which we learn from books. It's more of a relationship-based when we are ready to receive Jesus in our lives.
So that word ready is a really important one to keep in mind when thinking about sacrament prep. One of the gifts of COVID was that we ended up offering First Communion preparation multiple times in the course of a year. And what we found was that children were more able to make the decision to enter into that preparation when we were watching for signs that they were ready. So we used that readiness model for our sacrament prep, which allows us to take it slowly and allows the children to enter into that process ready to receive Jesus in Holy Communion, ready to receive the Holy Spirit at confirmation. We like to say around here, we want them to want it.
So imagine, Rebecca started by saying imagine, dream. Imagine you kids. Can I hear again my kids? Hi, kids. Hi, kids. Imagine you guys finding here your best friends. Imagine having fun at church. Imagine finding Jesus being your best friend. This can be a reality for you guys. This can be a reality, parents, for your kids and for your grandkids. So let's dream together. And thank you. Thank you for listening to us.
Thanks, Rebecca. Thanks, Adrian. One of the things when I read that parable that we heard today of the prodigal father, the loving father, the longing father, whatever you want to call it, as long as we don't call it the prodigal son anymore. When I hear that, oftentimes I find myself, too often anyway, I find myself identifying with the older brother, with the guy who's a little resentful, with the guy who's saying, hey, I've been doing all this forever. I've been here all along. Why are you rejoicing over his brother who's gone? And I think sometimes the missed opportunity that this older brother had in seeing his little brother come and be embraced by their dad again. You know, he hears about it, but he's not there to witness it, to witness the joy that the father has, to witness the tears that must have been there between the father and the son, and to realize just how profound a moment that is, to realize just how important it is that each and every one of us feel that we are loved no matter what. Jesus says at the Last Supper, he says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love, he says. Abide means to dwell in that love. And then Jesus goes on to say, I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. What I think we too often miss, in everything we do in a church is that it should be joyful. That it is a joy, this incredible treasure that the Father is giving to us, and that we have the privilege, we have the honor to be part of his family, to be one of his children, to be co-heirs with Christ. That's what we want for each and every one of our members here at St. Ignatius. That's what our kids ministry is trying for to achieve with your kids. That their joy in encountering God, in coming to church, in being with their brothers and sisters in Christ, just is so abundant, so fruitful, so apparent, that it transforms your family, not just their lives, but it transforms everyone's life around them. That is the type of joy we want for each and every person in our church. That's the joy we want for your children. That's the joy that Jesus offers all of us.